Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
By the way, there were a number of people texting in saying Joe O'Connor should have a music show, and I said it to him and he said, wouldn't that be lovely? So there you go, an opportunity there perhaps for someone. In the meantime, Joe was telling me he'd be talking about the ghosts of Rome and growing up in Dunleary in a documentary film he's made with Madeleine Keane for the Irish Writers' Centre and Dublin UNESCO City of Literature, and he says it's available on their website at the end of this month, and it's part of a series including John Banville, Marion Keyes, Neil Jordan and many more. We also have a statement from Áras an Uachtaráin. It says, Brendan stated a short time ago on today's programme that the President had written a, quotes, glowing letter to the President of Iran. It is important to clarify that this was a standard diplomatic letter. Similar letters were also sent by many fellow European heads of state, the European Union and the United Nations. As is normal practice, the letter in question was based on draft material provided by the Department of Foreign Affairs. The only addition made to the letter by the President was the inclusion of a reference to the importance of peace. The approach was consistent with that taken by the President's predecessors, Mary McAleese and Mary Robinson, each of whom also sent letters to incoming presidents of Iran during their term of president. So we'll go to China then. So today is the official 90th birthday of the Tibetan spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama. And just this week, he finally revealed his succession plan, which people have been speculating on for years. And it has ruffled a few feathers in China. So I'm joined on the line now from China by Dennis Staunton, Irish Times China correspondent. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
Dennis, the Dalai Lama is a bit of a global superstar. He's kind of become a pop culture icon. I think a lot of people see him now as this nice, wise granddad on social media and that. What's his actual position like? What does he actually do? Who is he the leader of?
He's the spiritual leader of Tibetan Buddhists. And before he left Tibet in the 60s, or rather before the Chinese, the communists took over in 1950, basically the Dalai Lama for hundreds of years was not only the spiritual leader, but also the political leader of the country. He was like a king as well. And so he is now in exile in India, but he remains the spiritual leader of the Tibetan Buddhists.
And what did he say this week that was so important?
He said that, first of all, he confirmed he was going to be reincarnated, and he said that the only people who could be involved in the process of choosing his, overseeing this reincarnation and choosing who the next Dalai Lama was, are his own immediate circle among the Tibetans in exile. And so, in other words, not the Chinese in any way.
Okay, so there, and people had been wondering about would he come out, would he end the role, or what would happen? Yes.
Yeah, he hadn't been very clear for some time. He said he wasn't, you know, for some time he had said, you know, he wasn't certain that there would be another Dalai Lama. And then he was saying, well, maybe there will, and it could be a boy or it could be a girl. There's never been a female Dalai Lama before. And then he said, well, really, I suppose if the, you know, if the Tibetan Buddhists, if the people really want another Dalai Lama, maybe there will be. And now he's basically saying, yes, there will.
Okay, so it's a tricky one, right? So the new Dalai Lama is technically a reincarnation of the current Dalai Lama. How do Dalai Lamas get chosen, or how will his successor be found?
It's quite an elaborate process. So first of all, they don't start looking for the new Dalai Lama until the current Dalai Lama is dead. And so then they tend to look for children. He was identified actually as a baby and then kind of confirmed when he was two. And what they do is they look at all kinds of signs. They use divination. They interpret dreams. They look for signs in lakes. And then when they identify a few possible candidates of children, they then kind of give them various tests, and they sort of show them various things that belong to the old Dalai Lama. And they will sort of say, is that yours or is it not? And sometimes they say, yes, it is. And if they sort of say it is, that's the kind of sign they might be. And apparently when he was chosen, he had, you know, they were holding out something that was the old Dalai Lama's, and he said, mine, mine, mine. So that's how, that was one of the indications. And so that's the way, you know, they sort of identify them. But the Chinese, as you can imagine, have a different view of this.
Okay.
And so what the Chinese say is, he is indeed a very important spiritual figure in Tibetan Buddhism, but he's part of a tradition that goes back hundreds of years. And so it's not up to him to decide how his successor is chosen. And so they say that sort of since 1796, from then onwards, there was a system called the Golden Urn. So basically what would happen would be that the monks would choose a few names and they'd put these names into a golden urn and then they'd pick one out and then that name would be sent to the emperor of China in Beijing. It was the Qing dynasty, which was ruling at the time. And they kind of ruled Tibet at that time. So in other words, that Beijing would have the final say. And so what they're saying is that the Buddhist Association of China, which is the officially recognized Buddhist organization, that they, along with other officials connected with the Chinese Communist Party, would oversee this process, which would be the Golden Urn once again, and that then a name would be chosen from this golden urn, sent to Beijing, and Beijing would say, yes, that's fine.
And China has form here. They interfered before in the selection of another Tibetan Buddhist leader in recent years.
Yes, the second most senior figure is the Panchen Lama. And in 1995, a child was identified as being the next Panchen Lama. And this child was supported by the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan Buddhists in general. And that child then was detained with his family. And then a few months later, another child was identified by the official authorities in China. And that child was then named as the next Panchen Lama. Now, human rights organizations say is that original, the first child, is a political prisoner. The Chinese say, no, he was just, he was under pressure and he was, under threat. He was taken away for his own protection. He's now living a normal life and he's perfectly happy.
So is it possible then that there could be two Dalai Lamas, that there could be one chosen by the Tibetans in exile and one chosen by the Chinese?
Yes, probably. And the thing is that since the Dalai Lama has previously said that wherever his successor or his reincarnation was going to be born, the next Dalai Lama would not be in China. And so he's saying that it has to be outside. And so obviously, if the child is not in China, then there's not probably that much that the Chinese can do to get their hands on the child or to do what they did before and detain the child. And so what is likely is that there would be another process that the Chinese authorities approve of that would produce another Dalai Lama. So you could have two.
I've seen a suggestion that people in Tibet might not even know about the other Dalai Lama outside. Would that be possible?
Yeah, it would be possible. Although, I mean, the great firewall of China, which is kind of, they block lots of internet websites. It works to some extent, but a lot of people do have VPNs. They've got ways of getting around it. And, although these are not allowed, a lot of people do use them. And so, so if people really want information from outside the country, then they will get it. And the thing is, like, Tibet is quite sort of remote. It's quite far away. And although there's a lot of electronic surveillance, it is far from the center. And so, it neighbors, it borders on India. And there will be, a certain amount of information, I would have thought, going back and forward. But even if they know about it, there's probably not that much they're going to be able to do about it.
So will the Tibetan Buddhists who still live in Tibet, are they actually going to follow the teachings of a Dalai Lama chosen in part by the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, certainly it appears that the officially chosen Panchen Lama was never properly accepted. But what you do have, though, is that, I've actually met some of these Buddhist monks within the officially recognized system. And they are, they're actual monks and they do, they behave in exactly the same way as Buddhist monks. And in fact, they have a similar system, say, for the Catholic Church, where there is this officially recognized church. And that's now is fully recognized by the Vatican. And they have a system where, the local party approved church will nominate bishops and they then can be vetoed by Rome, but actually, generally speaking, they're just accepted. So there is a kind of a system so that these are actual sort of, they're properly religious people, but a lot of the ordinary people just don't accept their authority.
So it's not Chinese counterfeiting, like it is, it's a bit more than that. Just on the broader thing, this is more important than just religion and hearts and minds. Why is Tibet strategically important for China?
It's very important because the Tibetan Plateau, which is very high and very big, it's the source of a huge amount of China's water supply. The Yangtze River comes from there, the Yellow River, and it also supplies water to a large part of the rest of the region. So the Mekong River, for example, flows from there as well. And also, so it's important, and it's going to be more important with climate change for the water supply. But also, it overlooks India. And India and China have a rivalrous relationship. They have still have a border dispute. And they're both kind of rival powers, both huge, you know, more or less the same population. And so that's strategically, in terms of defense, it's also important.
Okay, well, listen, we like the Skibbereen Eagle, we'll keep an eye on it and let us know about any updates on the Dalai Lama situation. Dennis Staunton in China, thank you very much. We'll take a break.